getting a big thumbs up from Dave for doing this. Good morning, everyone. I've got some of my extra relatives in the room today. It's very exciting. There's normally some relatives here, isn't there? But some more, if you can believe that. There are more. There are. It's even more than there is here now. It's a big family. But, you know, it's great to be together this morning. And so Kate and I watched a film called Into Great Silence. It's about 10 years ago. Basically, a film crew kind of spent some time filming some monks in a Bavarian monastery. And the film is basically watching them pray, chant the Psalms, eat dinner, work on their allotments, all in complete silence. Because these particular monks had taken like a vow of silence. And I thought, looking back, the film was about 8 hours long. It turns out it was only about 3 or 4 hours, which is still quite a long for a film. And as you can imagine, quite a slow film to watch. You could say it was sleep-inducing. And you know, after watching it for a couple of hours, you kind of felt that you were in the monastery. Funny thing is, Kate had had enough, you know, and she falls asleep at, you know, films that are quite exciting anyway, do you know what I mean? So she went to bed at a certain point. And that's when the film got really exciting, because like they had some snow. They had some snow because they're up in the mountains. And all the monks, they all went sledging. Can you believe it? So they had like 2.5 hours of them praying, just eating dinner in silence, tending to the allotment, and then, bam, sledging. Kate is absolutely devastated that she missed this to this day, even after all this time. And so today I want to talk about, you know, being quiet in God's presence, or still in God's presence, or silent prayer. And I actually picked this topic because actually this is something I've been doing for a couple of years now, most days, like a silent prayer practice called centering prayer. And I'd felt this was something that I wanted to do, or I felt I was called to do for a while, but I could never get into the rhythm of doing it, you know, every day. But then came the lockdown, and about two years ago now, isn't it? And I managed to form, you know, a new habit, mainly because I think I was just desperate, you know, to find some way, you know, to connect with God, you know, in the midst of what we were all kind of going through then. And it became for me a real help. And it's funny how it took, you know, a lockdown for that to happen, to form a new habit, but there you go. So you might be thinking, silent prayer, you know, what is the point of that? Because, you know, aren't we told that prayer is about us, you know, talking to God? That's what we're told, isn't it? Well, you know, sometimes it's just good to shut up, isn't it? And you may be thinking that in about 10 minutes' time about me, but the Bible has some things to say about this with regard to prayer, and I'm just going to go through some of those things. In Ecclesiastes 5, it says this, it says, "Go near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools. And that God is in heaven and you are on earth, so let your words be few." And it's hard to listen and speak at the same time. So, you know, sometimes if we want to hear God speak, it's good to be still, it's good to be quiet. You know, we need to wait. We need to be patient. But, you know, we have been drawn into a friendship, you know, with God. So it is okay to talk to him. Of course it is. And share with him what's going on in our lives. That is what friendship, you know, is all about. But it's also right to remember that God is God from everlasting to everlasting. You know, the beginning and the end. The Alpha and the Omega. The creator, the sustainer of all things, whose wisdom and his ways are far, far higher than ours. So it's also right for us to be in awe and wonder before him. And sometimes, let's face it, the words get in the way. What does Jesus say about words in relation to prayer? So I'm going to read Matthew 6, 5 to 8. So, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. They love to pray, standing in the synagogues, on the street corners, to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they've received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what's done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans. They think they'll be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. If we're confident enough to pray out loud, not all of us are, it's a nice feeling to pray and get a solid amen from your your fellow Christians, brothers and sisters. But you know, Jesus cautions us actually to watch. We're not praying for the approval of others, but to pray in the secret place for God's approval alone. And also not to think that God will hear us because we use lots and lots of words or because we pray more. Maybe some people won't agree with me saying that or translating it that way. But you know, it says God knows what we need before we ask for it. And maybe some of us this morning need to hear that. Let me just read that verse. It says, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Maybe you don't know today how to ask, what to ask, what you need. But your Father knows what you need, even before you ask. If prayer is about our relationship with God, you know, are our relationships just about an exchange of words? Or are they something more than that? My dad was assessing my relationship with him the other day. He was saying, me and you, he says, we're very laid back together. He says, you know, and I was like, okay, are we? Okay. And I was just agreeing with him. And he says, it's sometimes we don't need to say anything. And he's right. Sometimes our relationships are more than just an exchange of words, aren't they? You know, words help us to express, to communicate what we know, how we feel, who we are at deeper level. Words can be very useful, very powerful. There's no doubt about that. Words can also get in the way. Communication with words is not always necessary. Sometimes the words aren't enough. The words help us to express something that's going on at a deeper level in our relationships. When God introduces himself to Moses in Exodus 3, he addresses himself as I am. Moses says to God, doesn't he? He says, who shall I say has sent me? And God says, I am. I don't know what I am means to you when you hear that. God is here. God is present. God is being. You know, if this is the name that God gave for himself and how he chose to reveal himself, you know, how do we get to know this God, this I am, this presence of God? And obviously we've been drawn into relationship through the work of Jesus Christ, But you know, how do we get to know this I am, this presence of God? And if we want to speak God's language, you know, we need to be present to God's presence. We need to I am with the great I am. There's actually a verse in the Bible that says this much more eloquently than I ever could in Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know. Be still. Be. Usually, if you want to catch up with someone, you have to speed up. But with God, you have to slow down if you want to catch up with Him. I was really proud of myself when I came up with that. But it's true, isn't it? What kind of stillness are we talking about here? Is this just referring to a stillness, you know, on the outside? It's very still here, actually. These kids are amazing. They're not amazing because they're quiet, though. Or maybe they are, says Claire. Or is it a stillness on the inside? What's it talking about? You know, we may be able to still our tongues, though that is a challenge. But can we still our minds? You know, our minds are busy places, full of what happened yesterday, or the conversation we had earlier, what we're going to do next. Worries and anxious thoughts about the future or about the people that we love. Daydreams. I like a good daydream. Who's daydreaming now? Oh, you're not anymore. And we have this constant self-talk, don't we? Often making judgments about this, about that. Our minds are like a busy city high street full of traffic. You know, God is also concerned about what we think about. Because what we're thinking about usually ends up coming out of our mouths. And can eventually turn into our actions. So I guess God does care about what we think about. Here's another verse from Psalm 139. Was it 139 we read earlier? 139:23. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. The psalmist inviting God into that inner place. He knows that God's perhaps not just concerned with his behavior on the outside, but what's going on in his inner world. And also in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 5, this is Paul talking, we demolish arguments, every pretension sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought, make it obedient to Christ. Easy for him to say. That's all I'm saying. You know, cultivating an inner stillness takes practice. Being able to manage our busy minds is a lifetime's worth of practice. We can't actually stop our thoughts, can we? We can't do it. But perhaps we can practice letting them go. This brings me to the practice of silent prayer or centering prayer, which I mentioned earlier. Basically, for 20 minutes, once or twice a day, you sit in silence in the presence of God. And whenever a thought comes into your mind, or you catch yourself thinking about something, you gently let go of that thought using a prayer word and just return to God's presence. So you're practicing letting go of your thoughts and resting and remaining in God's I am presence. And that's it. You just do it over and over and over again for those 20 minutes. Sometimes it's easy to do. Sometimes it's not. And 20 minutes can seem like a long time. It's not always enjoyable. But over time, you begin to see how less attached and addicted you are to your own thoughts and your own thinking, how less maybe reactive you are to situations, maybe a bit calmer. There's also a deeper awareness of God's unconditional love. Because, you know, in those 20 minutes, you're not really doing anything. You're literally just sitting there, you're in silence. But then in that moment, you're knowing that God's with you, God accepts you, God loves you. Like that song that we used to sing in church, there's nothing I can do to make you love me more or make you love me less than you do. It's a great way to grow in knowing that God loves you, not because of what you do or what you say. He just loves you. He just does. Maybe that's all that someone today needs to hear. We all need to hear, actually, all the time, don't we? But God loves you, not because of what you do, and not because of what you say. He just loves you. He just does. So silent prayer or silent practice may not be for everyone. It could be, but it could be that God may be calling you to such practice. And we all have those moments in our lives when we experience that inner stillness and peace. It can sometimes come in church, in prayer, or even sometimes if you're out in God's creation. But you know, a silent prayer practice, you know, can cultivate that in your life more. Interestingly, the words that follow the call to be still in Psalm 46 talk about God being exalted in the nations. And some of you may not see the point of this kind of a practice. It may seem a bit inward looking, a bit insular, not in the service of the gospel, maybe. But, you know, a growing awareness of God through being still, you know, makes us more attentive to the voice of God. It creates more space in our lives for God to direct, to lead, and to guide us. Because after all, God tends to speak in a whisper. Water to escape.
Thank you for those really wise and careful thoughts. But I've just asked Chris to stay where he is because I just want to model something. I know I haven't asked you if you're happy to do this, but
I'm not happy.
I know you're not happy, but I know you well enough to know. I just want to ask Chris some questions. I've got the microphone. I'm sure you've got questions that you'd like to ask as well. But after each time we've shared something from the front, it's really great to go and find somebody that you know, or maybe you don't know, and ask them, have you ever tried silent prayer? What's it like for you? So I just want to ask Chris some questions to model that kind of conversation that could happen when you go home over the table at lunchtime or before you leave church today, so that this practice doesn't just... Like, oh, Chris is really good at that, but it doesn't actually sink into our hearts and for us to start to learn to practice it. So I just want to know, how many times have you fallen asleep when you're doing this silent prayer thing? Does that happen?
When you do it is important, I think. I think if you... I have sometimes done it like 7, 8 o'clock at night, and then you are just fighting sleep.
So do you sit on your bed, or do you stand up? Do you look out the window? What's your physical body doing?
Just sit up straight, not too that way.
Not too horizontal.
Just kind of sit up straight and say that you're attentive. Close your eyes normally, and relax yourself. Do you know what I mean?
Okay. And do you come to this silent prayer time with scripture to go out, to sort of chew over, to sort of meditate? Or is it literally like you just come with nothing?
I mean, what I did when I did the sermon then, I did that bit, be still and know that I am God. And you basically take off the last bit of the word each time. And it's a really great way. I always start my time with that, just because it makes me kind of realize what I'm getting into. And you know, and I kind of follow it up with a normal short prayer time that I'd, you know, that probably I'd normally do anyway.
Where you use words.
Yeah, of course, okay. Yeah, it's not like supposed to replace like words, using words in prayer. It's kind of to go alongside that, so.
Okay. What would you say if you're happy to share? Because it's quite a personal thing when it's just you and God. What would you say has been the most, the thing that God's revealed to you during those times of silent prayer? Can you sum that up in?
I mean, during the actual time, it's actually not very pleasurable. It's kind of, I'm not doing it, it's not like a kind of way of punishing myself, but you kind of feel the benefits more kind of over time and throughout the day as well. Do you know what I mean? You don't necessarily feel the benefits during the time that you're doing it. It's not even quite the same as listening to God's voice. Because in some ways, you're trying to train yourself to not be so kind of grip onto those thoughts that kind of come in. Do you know what I mean? And we get attached to them. We can't let go of them. It's more trying to practice being able to let go of them. Do you know what I mean? And realize and to rest in God. So in the actual time, I don't particularly hear God speak at all.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? But I think if I was going to say one of the big impacts for me has been just as a parent, like being a bit calmer. Do you know what I mean? Being a bit calmer as a parent has been like a big impact. It's been useful for me. Do you know what I mean? When you feel all of those things, kind of, your kids do something and you get all those things kind of come up in you.
Yeah.
And you have to kind of deal with them or absorb what they're doing. Do you know what I mean? It's made it more helpful for me to deal with those situations. So.
And that's not even just like in the moment, it makes life more peaceful. But actually it's a legacy that you're then passing on to your kids as well, isn't it? It's that hopefully at some point they will know where that comes from, that practice.
Yeah, hopefully, yeah.
And it sounds like it's a bit like going to the gym. You don't actually enjoy it when you're there, but you see the benefits of it later. Okay. Thank you, Chris. That's really helpful. If you've got any questions that you think Chris might be able to answer, then please grab him at the end. But ask each other as well, so that this really cements in our hearts and our lives. Thank you. Worship band, do you want to come up? It's interesting.